Good evening and welcome to those who are joining in through BBS Radio Online on this conference call. This is a simulcast. We have a bunch of people here on the phone line. I welcome you all. Winfrey is here. We're still waiting for Terry to show up, and we'll be rolling here very shortly.
You know the problem with Terry is she has job security.
Yeah.
And she knows she's irreplaceable, not replaceable. God. You know, then they become prima donnas, right?
Your voice is not so clear. Or maybe it's because we are still unmuted. I mean, on...
Terry, hang on a second. Here we are on BBS Radio, live around the world, and I'm sitting around yelling, Terry, all right? It's not like Archie Bunker, right? Terry? Uh-oh, she has disappeared. Terry, what's my time to ascend yet? Where are you? Did you have your phone in the car? She forgot her phone in the car. She's calling in.
So, Wynn, just give us an update on the Heather's call.
Let me give an update, and
I'm going to turn the mute on. All right, hold on one second.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Why don't I start the recording, and I'll do the update while we're recording. Okay.
Are you ready?
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. This is July 23rd, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Sedona and Hive and Magalia. Welcome, everybody, and another Wednesday night question and answer session. And just before we start, I just want to give everybody a heads up on two things which are happening Saturday. If I was smart, I put the links in it in the email I sent out just a minute ago, and they're working. And if not, all else fails, write down our phone number and call. And one of the great things about calling is there's a good chance Terry will pick up the phone. And she loves writing down credit card numbers. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Okay. Is that true? Am I right? You love writing down credit card numbers?
No.
Yeah, she knows she can pay her mortgage. those of you who have been regularly on know that this past Sunday and Monday, were kind of unusual because for whatever reason, and I didn't plan it, but for whatever reason, I got into talking about astrology. And there was a period of my life when I was kind of a semi-good astrologer, and I was learning. It was one of the things that helped me be curious about, I mean, keep in mind, when I was young, I was like an engineering type. I wanted to be a physics major. I was a nerd. I mean, I was an agnostic. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. And I wasn't even curious until I discovered Edgar Cayce and astrology. And I proved to myself astrology worked. So there was a lot of interest in it. And I decided this Saturday we're going to do an astrology workshop from 10 to 1. And I'm going to be talking about astrology, but I'm also going to be teaching everybody how to do a chart. And right now, you can do charts online, and it takes 3 minutes. I used to have to do all these calculations, and it would take me 2 hours. Now you can do them in 2 minutes. We'll be doing people's charts. We'll be everybody that comes is going to get a chart, either learn how to do a chart, and if they can't figure it out, I'll help them. They'll get their own chart. And what a chart is like all the positions, all the astrology chart. When people say they're a Taurus or an Aries, it talks about your sun, the sun in the sky, what it was in. Astrology chart is the entire, all the planets and all their aspects and all the houses. We don't know what that means, but, you know, I'm going to get as much in 3 hours, and we may go a little longer, so leave a little longer on there if we hold the energy up, and maybe we'll do a session with the Elohim at the end. And, you know, oftentimes we get information that has never been on this planet before. Like, who helped organize all this astrological stuff so that it works? In any case, the website is astro.intelligent-infinity.com. Okay? I just checked it. It was working. There's some buttons there to sign up. The suggested donation is $25, and somebody can sign up for as little as $15. But you know what? We work really hard putting this stuff out. So it's my kind of idea that when we're doing Elohim stuff, when we're doing stuff that is that important from other realms, we don't charge for it, or we charge very little, or we have almost nothing donation. So this is one of those things that I mastered this. So it's my thing. It's like a craft. And so I feel clear about charging for it. And not only will you learn how to do charts, you'll have fun afterwards doing everyone's chart that you know. And some of you may even be able to do charts or want to do charts and charge a little bit for it. It is so easy to do a chart that you could do it and charge $10. And you're still not an expert, though. One of the things about doing the charts online is the fact that you get all the independent data, but you're not going to be really good at intuitively putting it all together into a whole thing, okay? It's kind of like if somebody's looking at your body, they could look at your foot, and they could look at your knee, and they could look at your neck, but you're all of that put together. So it takes somebody who is a really good astrologer to do that. Maybe I might even have someone to recommend, okay? So in any case, that's astro.intelligent-infinity.com. That's the website I did. And then on Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5, we're going to do a question and answer session with Terry Friedman. And people are going to submit questions on what happened in the life of Jesus. And to qualify for this session, you should have bought a book, either a download or a book. Everyone will be invited who bought a book. And it's really a fundraiser for Terry. Terry, you know, has really huge overhead. He's got caretakers, and this will help him keep it together. We thank all of you who bought books previously, and we're just going to go send an email to everyone who bought a book and invite them to the session with the phone number. So that's Saturday from 4 to 5. I'm sure we'll record both sessions, so if you miss being there live, you'll get a recording. Okay? So on that note, Terry, you're not ready, yeah, are you? Yeah. Terry came in just before we started, and she said, "Oh my God, the call's on! The call's on!" And I said, Hey, we got 11 minutes. For 11 minutes is probably like 25 years to be Elohim. Okay.
Not that bad.
I don't know if it's like 25 years or a quarter of a second. I'm not sure. But it's different, you know? You know, one of the strange things about when you start to really integrate this idea of timelessness, you know, you can say it in your mind and you can try to get it logically, but when you really integrate it and start to feel it, everything looks different. Because if you go to no time, then there's no thing. When you're in between lives, you're in almost not completely no time, but you're in slow time or fast time, whatever. It's like, I think the experience would be, is you're still in the same consciousness you're in now, but Earth is moving like a jet plane. And then you just have to catch a funnel into the Earth or a vortex and come back again. And so the time you wait doesn't seem very long, I don't think, unless you're in hell. And then it might go slowly. But we have some great questions tonight. I thank all of you who sent in questions. And let me see here. Let's see if we had anything really cool. Look, wait. We don't look at the wrong thing. Here we go. All right, here. One question. Let me see, we got another one here. I got your question, Dharmananda. Let me get that one in, Dharmananda. And I think we got it. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy field, the planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator, the one infinite creator of which each and every one of you is a spark. And you do not, all the sparks do not make up the whole of the one infinite creator. And the one infinite creator watches over everything and we are here. This is the Elohim. This is Ra'an. We are here to be of assistance. And we are honored to be able to have this sacred time with you. Do you have questions?
Yes. Terry LaBarber in Dallas, Texas, listened to our show on astrology and divination. And it's been my experience, but since I'm reading now, it's been my experience that divination works phenomenally well. I practice many forms of it from an early age. Question, in addition to the intuition of the one who is doing the interpreting in divination, and I'm just going to make a comment, divination is things like tarot cards, like I Ching, like reading tea leaves. Somehow, it's the idea behind divination is that you can take what seems to be a totally random set of events and have a way to interpret them so they connect up with higher holograms or trends or things that are happening. That's what divination would seem to be. So going on with Terry's email, is there any other driving mechanism or force that is at work during a session of high intent? For example, what's responsible for the right cards turning up in a layout or the correct throw of the coins? What is the source, our higher selves, our guides, the law of synchronicity? How does it work? Thank you. And I should mention that it's our understanding that the Ra group actually created the tarot cards, as was indicated in the Carla Ruckert's Law of One material. And so this would be a really interesting question, the tarot cards in particular, because if they created it, then they were aware of the microcosm-macrocosm connection. Thank you.
Thank you. The tarot cards have all of the aspects of life that a person can go through from birth to death. All of the factors of life are there to be read. When the card is read, it could be the Fool card, where a person comes in and is naive. All of the factors are there. And when you have someone that is a great card reader and is connected to the all that is in the card reading, there is an open channel for the exact right cards to show up. And give us a moment. For the exact right cards to show up. Give us a moment. We need to, again, get back into session as a bird just hit the window and is okay and has now flown away. So when an individual is reading the cards that can come in, different aspects of the card can flash, can present themselves, present their attention to the reader. Perhaps the devil will flash, the red color will flash. Different aspects can jump out and even appear to change to the reader, depending upon what the connection is with the person being read, and how a person can read accurately for the individual. To set oneself aside, to tune, to be there, to be a blank slate for the reading to come in, connects then all aspects. The person being read, the reader, the card then reflects the images, the parts of the images in the card that show what it is, the information that should be, that is available to be told to the person being read. The other methods of divination also connect to the all that is in the I Ching. It makes a circuit with the person being read and the person reading and the means that are being used. And when everything is in alignment in the circuit and the energies of the cards are in connection with the energies of the reader, then the cards can bring through phenomenal information that tell exactly what the person is seeking, information on what the person needs to know, is asking for. We hope that helps.
I'd like to ask a question, and I think it connects with what Terry was asking, Terry LaBarber. We know the universe, or we've got the idea, the universe is a bunch of holographic fields of energy connected to source and subdivided by what some people call sacred geometry. And
connected to source is not the best way to put it, is an aspect of source.
Okay. And that a human integrates received frequencies and energies from the greater universe to some extent or another. And so there is some kind of microcosm, macrocosm relationship. And when somebody does a random act, like pulls a card or out of a deck or flips coins, is there a way to understand the energetic relationship, or are they connected, those holograms, to what happens to that random choice?
There is. The energy is connected, and that thread of energy is what brings in the card, the correct card, and what further shows the part of the card that applies.
Thank you. And this idea of what seems like a random choice connecting to holograms seems to be the same thing that works in synchronicities. When a human makes what seems to be a random choice to go into a certain restaurant or make a certain phone call, that if he goes into a state of randomness and can see what comes up spontaneously and get his mind out of the way, he might attract a choice that is more magical, so to speak.
Yes, the person has many subconscious aspects, and the subconscious aspects that he, she is not aware of can attract energies in the area where the person has distortions and needs to grow through those distortions. And those energies in his hologram distort the whole field around him and connect him up with other people, other situations that he has no idea that in his conscious mind that he, she is bringing in, pulling in to himself. It is similar with how one pulls in a card. It is at a very subconscious level.
Thank you. We have here a question from Rick Gorton. And Rick talks about Kali Yuga. Now, in the Hindus talk about cycles that the universe goes through, and that the end of a cycle is called Kali Yuga. And some people think that we are in the age of Kali Yuga. Let me read to you Wikipedia. Kali Yuga is the last of four stages the world goes through as part of the cycle of yugas described in the Indian scriptures. The other ages are Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dvapara Yuga. Kali Yuga is associated with the apocalyptic demon Kali, not to be confused with the goddess Kali. The Kali of Kali Yuga means strife, discord, quarrel, or contention. And the duration and chronological starting point in human history of Kali Yuga has given rise to different evaluations. Many interpreters of Hindu scripture believe the earth is currently in Kali Yuga. Other authors, such as Yogananda, believe that it is now an ascending Dvapara Yuga, indicating levels of cycles within each major yuga period, as each being a development, the smaller cycles within cycles eventually leading to full development of the qualities of the ages. The Kali Yuga is sometimes thought to last 4,000 years, although other durations have been proposed. Hindus believe that human civilization degenerates spiritually during the Kali Yuga, which is referred to as the Dark Age, because in it people are as far away as possible from God. Hinduism often symbolically represents morality as a bull. In Satya Yuga, the first stage of development, the bull has four legs, but in each age, morality is reduced by one quarter. And by the age of Kali, morality is reduced to only a quarter of the golden age. So the bull of the another kind of Dharma has only one leg. So I wanted to read that to give you an idea of what Kali Yuga is, or to get it into Terry's mind. And other people have said that the end of Kali Yuga. Let me see. It's just the end of Kali Yuga is 2025, and that would be the starting of a new cycle. So he's saying we are coming out of Kali Yuga. So first of all, is there any accuracy in this Hindu way of describing ages that our planet, maybe the universe, I don't know if it's the universe or just our planet, goes through? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We see that this is an attempt at a description of what happens to humanity at various stages in their civilization. We see that as things become easier, as communication becomes more prevalent, as technology becomes more advanced, that it brings people together, that it is in a different way than, say, a civilization that is at its golden age and expanding and is working together, where everyone strives to connect with the other to the best of their ability, to bring the best survival for their families, to bring culture in to the civilization. There is a striving and an end. And when there is more advancement with different ideas come in direct contact with each other, it triggers, in a way, more growth. People can then begin to also take shortcuts in their thinking when they have access to ways that are not ethical of making money. And with some people, this is the only way they see to make money, say growing poppy seeds for opium. As things become more connected and different ideas, diverse ideas and diverse people come connected with each other, then it opens, since it is hard to, on the individual family being together and striving, it opens the individuals up to a more free flow. And this has happened more often in society than one knows. There are stages where one goes through and civilization is built up, say, is in the Atlantis period. And then there is misuse of technology. And then there is unethical behavior in making money, and it can create breakdown. The yugas are an attempt at a generalized description of this cycle, this pattern that man has in the past gone
So we know that Atlantis had an advanced civilization that broke down, and then Maldek had an advanced advanced civilization that broke down. So
did Earth have an advanced civilization that broke down with much travel between planets, between galaxies even, and then Earth became cut off like a rogue child.
Mm-hmm. So these cycles are very much tied to how long it takes for consciousness on a planet to evolve into a highly technological consciousness where there's so much power to for both good and negative. And if it goes negative, it causes a total breakdown. Yes?
Yes.
A way of understanding it?
If it goes negative, if the mind of the human cannot handle the power to generate friendship and peace among neighbors, then it is destructive to both sides, to all.
Mm-hmm. And so Rick expects everything to crumble like a sandcastle, and cell phones and computers don't work, and life goes back to the 18th century. That's not inevitable, though, is it?
The grid system in some countries is a sitting duck for that to happen, as there are not the proper backups to keep the grid working if there is a problem. If there would be a Carrington event, if there would be a burst from the sun aimed directly at Earth, if there would be a attack to take the grid system down, there is not in any backup for a long period of time for repair.
You're talking about the electrical grid system.
That is correct.
Powers the country. I know that, but I wanted to clarify that, okay?
Okay, yes,
another question.
They're taking down, stopping the grid system would stop essentially business in the U.S. as much as running based upon the grid system.
Thank you. Next question is, this is from Charlene in Oneida, New York. And Charlene, the first question, we have spent about three calls, which you can look up on thespiritchannel.net, thespiritchannel.net, and do a search on rewriting the Old Testament, and you'll find those calls. The question is, which advanced species created modern humans? And the answer to that is, it was a group of beings called the Anunnaki who were mining gold on planet Earth, and they crossbred themselves with apes to create slaves to do their labor. Okay? That's the answer. And we've cross-referenced that. That's there's a lot of not. You don't need channeling. There are. Michael Tellinger has found the landing places. He's found the gold mines in South Africa. Zachariah Sitchin has translated the Sumerian tablets, which told the story. So it's pretty clear to anyone that does the research that that's a true story. And next question is from her. Are earthquakes and sinkholes related? And if so, are there any safe spots in the United States? Let's say safer spots.
Sinkholes are related. It is complicated when you have a sinkhole, it can possibly not be related to earthquakes. Perhaps there is water flow underneath the ground, and the water gradually over the edges undermines certain aspects of the rocks, and then the rocks can part, or the earth taken away can move to the top and you get a sinkhole. There are sinkholes all over based upon that. However, movement of earth, then if the sinkhole is big enough and deep enough and goes on underground, then can create an earthquake as the land moves to fill in the gaps 1 mile down, 3 miles down, 27 miles down. And if one follows earthquakes, one notices when there is an earthquake, there is a realignment of the earth in the area. For instance, there might be an earthquake at 1 mile down, and then in the vicinity, there'll be another one 3 miles down. Or if there's one 27 miles down, there might be another one 5 miles down in the vicinity. So the movement of Earth does create other movement of earth. But a sinkhole is not necessarily connected to an earthquake.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Dharmananda. And Dharmananda has asked some questions about his son who passed this realm a while back, three years ago. But he has questions about him. His son is named Chris, and he just asks, could you look in on Chris? And I would assume he'd like Chris to get any support he can while he's in other realms, and if Chris has any message for him. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris is moving on. Chris has moved on. And after his death, he did not look at it as a tragedy himself. He looked at it as an opportunity to view other areas, to transition. And he has moved on. His attentions are taken up in other areas at this time. So we do not wish to pull his attentions back into this past life that he has had, as he is excited about the future and moving on into his new life. He's pretty much absorbed with moving on into his new life at this time. You can send him love yourself. He will get the vibration. And even though he consciously will not know where this is coming from, it will buoy him up and support him and make him feel good. Thank you.
Thank you. Question from Jeannie Judd in Citrus Heights, California. And the question is my subconscious mind sabotaging my ability to achieve financial stability? And if so, how can I change this? Thank you.
Thank you. When you look at your intent, like if you look at yourself as having lots of money, do you also see the gap between what you feel that you can achieve? Do you see a gap there? When one wishes to change something, there is always a gap between one where they are and where one wishes to be. This is normal. And if you can simply see those two areas together and then picture any feeling of that you can't have money because, say, you have taken an oath that money is not the best avenue for your spiritual growth, but you don't think that that's true. But if you let any oaths go like that that you may have taken, then you can let that area of your subconscious begin to flow and accept the idea that it is okay now for you to have money, and that idea of taking the oath or having the feeling that you shouldn't have more money than you need to survive, if you can work with that subconscious or any subconscious feeling that is bubbling and coming to the surface, that you can't progress in the area of having money and good financial resources, then let it be there, but let it bubble to the surface and smile at it. And let it dissolve and say, it's okay now. I can have money now. I can. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, one thing I've observed is that we all have a place in our consciousness where we think something is a lot of money. And therefore, if it's a lot of money, it's unobtainable. Like maybe if you're making $10 an hour, you might think $25 is a huge amount of money. Whereas someone else, $25 is a pittance. And even when you're making $7 an hour, it's like there's a way to change. This is easier said than done, but there's a way to change what you think is a lot of money to not think of it as a lot of money. You can just think of it as, oh, that's the amount of money. That's worth it. That's not a lot. And I remember the guy who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield, had his book rejected by publisher after, I think he said 100 publishers. And he and his partner put a thing on their refrigerators saying, Chicken Soup for the Soul, New York Times bestseller. And they actually reprogrammed themselves to think our book is the book everyone wants. And, of course, the history of that is it became, I think, the best-selling series in history, Chicken Soup for the Soul. And you wouldn't normally think of it to be that. It's just got, like, little uplifting stories in it. But it became popularized. And, of course, they went on hundreds of radio stations talking about it, and they put a lot of energy out into it. But he's credited with putting on his refrigerator, New York Times bestseller, number one bestseller, Chicken Soup for the Soul. So that might work for money. If you go into your mind and you think what is a lot of money to you seems unobtainable, get some photocopies of $100 bills and stick them on your refrigerator. Keep looking at it and say, that's not that much money. And because it is a psychological thing. And suddenly...
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Suddenly, go ahead.
Yeah. Suddenly, it's not unattainable. Whereas when you think it's a huge amount, it is unattainable. And it's a trick. It's not easy. It's a trick because, you know, we all have areas of unworthiness in us. And we're not. It's a matter of not judging our unworthiness. It's a matter of shifting it, reprogramming it. And I think our sources wanted to add something that I was saying.
Yes. So if you think of it this way, if you think that each individual, each spark of God is a space, takes up a space, takes up a location, and in that space and in that location, there are these intentions, these ideas. And these intentions, if you would think of them, say, as a food coloring, the food coloring red, then they kind of, they pervade energetically the space around one, around that individual. And they begin to color the space and the individuals around them energetically with that, say, the food color red. And it begins to be catching. Catching is not the right word. It leaks out and it colors the areas and the intentions of the people around, the space around. When you walk into a room and somebody has been depressed, the whole space is colored depressed. So if you can change your own intention, your own particular brand of food coloring, that energy that moves out into the people around you, the space around you, the things that happen, the synchronicities you bring in, then you can begin to change the situation in the way that you would like.
You know, one thing that I learned was how to spend money and realize I'm giving it to myself. In other words, if you go, you can't do this one too much, but you want to try it occasionally because you're trying to reprogram yourself. Go into a restaurant that's more expensive than you can usually afford and have dinner and enjoy spending the money. Enjoy giving it to the restaurant. Enjoy supporting their establishment. So now you're supporting something which is more upscale than you would normally afford. And then you start getting an energy string with what you're supporting. And you have to test it. Don't go spend all your money in expensive restaurants, but just do it occasionally and see if you can transfer stuff. Or go out one day and say, I'm going to give away money today, and give yourself a budget of what you can afford, and take $10 and say, I'm going to look around at who I think can use a dollar. You can even pick some people that don't even ask you. They're sitting there, they look forlorn. I've done this, and say, can you use a dollar? And with your heart, feel the energy of the gift. So the money doesn't become like, I'm running out, we don't have enough, not enough. That becomes the mantra, okay? And then you go out to make money, and your mantra is going, not enough, not enough, not enough. So these are things that I've used to change my mantra. And I'm still learning this. I'm certainly not well-to-do, wealthy, but I have certainly learned in my life different times. We've made a lot of money, and I've seen the different kind of energetics that go with it. You know what? Let me see. I wanted to just quickly, let me see here. We have here Melissa Estes just asked for her cat digit to be in the circle of light and protection and guidance for her safe journey home. It sounds like her cat passed away. So we ask our sources to just give Digit a little blessing if you can. And Don Herman, ask your question next week. It's a good question.
Hey, Vin, we are the last show on station 2 BBS.
We are?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. I'll tell you what. I will ask Don Herman's question, and then we will adjourn, okay? Yeah, it's a good question, actually. You know, if you notice, different weeks, there's similar kinds of questions that come in, unusually similar, okay? And Don is talking about subconscious, and it seems that all the good parts of the mind, telepathy, access to universal mind, and its higher information are buried in the subconscious, while we're mostly stuck in the measly conscious mind, which doesn't seem to be good for much except things like deciding which TV shows to watch. Why is this? Are we actually meant to have conscious access to the higher aspects of mind? Did we have these abilities in the past? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We would suggest that you review your question in that the conscious mind is, perhaps you said it tongue-in-cheek, that the conscious mind is not only good for watching TV, but is good for aspects of guiding one, of awareness, of paying attention, of helping the body to run, making sure that the food level is correct. It is a connection with the real world and serves its function. The higher self works to guide one, and one can develop the skill of listening to the higher self, having the higher self bring in information, comfort one, can have the higher self be a guidance system for the person. And there are aspects of the mind that can be even difficult aspects, that when one has mind chatter, there are aspects of the lower self that are at loose ends and are talking away. What's going to be for dinner, and what are we going to pick up at the store, and that can all have a good effect when one is going to the store. But if one wishes to meditate and to Let the mind silence itself. Then there are aspects of the mind that are hard to control because one themselves is not in control, actually, of those aspects to the point that they can say, quiet themselves, and those aspects can quiet themselves. There are ways of working on oneself to bring one to dismiss those aspects of the mind that are not working together properly, and to be able to quiet the mind totally. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it seems to me that that I remember one time I got a dream message that said, was it a dream message? I think, no, it was in my reading from David Wilcock, and they said, look at the spaces in between your words. You'll hear our voice. And that actually works. It's kind of like if you want to access your higher mind, learn how to daydream. Record your dreams, your night dreams. It's like what it is you're trying to grab something that you can control because your conscious mind wants to control it. And say, just put it in my conscious mind and let me know it. And in truth, it's more comes in a dreamy-like state. That's why Terry can so easily access this. She's learned to kind of, it's intrinsic in her to have a dreamy-like state. But a lot of people wouldn't want that, because they say, I want to be in control. I want this, I want that. And so they won't let themselves go into that twilight space that allows access to the higher dimensions. So try it. You know, go daydreaming. Just go neutral. See what pops into your head. But if you did a lot of mind chatter, as they were saying, if you're thinking, what's for dinner, what's this, and you're trying to control every aspect of your life, you may not be able to get the access, because when you look in between the words, you don't find anything in between because you're so busy chatting with yourself. Okay, on that note, we're going to bring this session to an end, and I want to remind you again of our astrology workshop. You know, whenever I do a workshop like this, and I haven't done one for a long time, and if people support it, maybe we'll do more. You know, we've done things in the past where it's like an extended Wednesday session. We go for 3 hours. But everybody, Terry would get really, really tired from channeling on that, so we haven't done one of those lately. But there's a lot of ways we can get together that will benefit you. One of the things is just to get networking together. The more people get to know each other that come from higher intent, the better it is for your life, because it's hard to find people of higher intent, as many of you have learned in the world. So when people are truly of higher intent, and you can get to know them, and that you can become friends, that's a real positive. And so that's one of the things that can happen on, you know, workshops and stuff like that. And if I do those things, we're going to charge a little bit of money, because this is stuff that I am so busy, and it benefits you to participate in that. And there's something about when you reach back and pay some money, it creates the workshops that we do when that takes place. it makes more of an interchange of energy that you've given more of yourself into it. So it makes it easier, and the information comes out differently. So in any case...
Vin, will you give one more time the website to sign up for the class on Saturday regarding astrology?
intelligent.com. And again, if you purchase Dr. Friedman's book, we're going to have a, for everyone that purchased it, and if you already purchased it, you'll get a notice. We're going to have a question and answer session on anything people want to ask about the life of Jesus. But you have to read the book to be part of that. Otherwise, it's not worth it, and there's no charge. I'll see you then, those of you that are interested. And the book website is Man Who Walked, no spaces, no dashes, manwhowalked.com. Starts with manwhowalked.com. I will be sending emails out, but in case you don't get an email, which some of you are not getting, we're still working that out. Those are the websites. And we'll see you, some of you, Saturday. And thank you. Thank you all so much for supporting this work, supporting our planet, and supporting your own growth and expansion.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, BBS. Thank you all. Much love to all.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry.
Good night.
Thank you, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you. Sunshine to you all.
Thank you.
Sunshine to you all. Thank you.